I mean, you know where this is heading. I've just set this up, right?
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. It's Thursday, which means it's money in football. Today, we are looking at random shit that we look at during international breaks. We've got nothing else to talk about. Transfer window.
We might have been taking a dive back into Chelsea if I'd known the kind of update this week before I'd Abramovich. Raised the schedule about, hiding money, maybe, and, yeah. Hi, just when you thought it was safe to come out the cupboard and be happy. Listen, as per Man City, that won't get dealt with for a really, really long time. Thought I'd do something a bit different for money in football. It's probably more of a football conversation, but it involves money. Because I thought now, appropriately, final international break before 2024, have a look back on the summer transfer window. And the reason that idea come about is I just regularly get it as a question. Who do you think had the best summer transfer window? Or who do you think needs to buy players? It's just a regular thing all the time. Everyone wants to be a football manager, don't they? So I've gone back and...
There's a computer game for that.
There is, yeah. Mm. And I'd love to play it regularly, but I don't have enough... I don't have a spare hour in my week anymore.
I couldn't give a shit. Like, that game has... Yeah, it's too involved. I have no desire to ever want to play football manager.
You can't just put it on for half hour.
Yeah, I have no desire to want to do that.
You put it on for half hour, you've done a training session. I've ranked clubs based on their summer transfer window on a number of metrics to kind of give me a final score. So I've ranked clubs on their spend, their income, their profit, signings that have improved the 11, sales that have weakened the 11, signings and sales that have both either enhanced or weakened the squad. And added some personal notes on things where I think it needs a little bit of context and graded teams up or down from there. Just out of interest, who, in your opinion, and this isn't factual, right? This is just something I've made up. Who would you say had the best summer transfer window?
I don't know.
Is anyone you think had a terrible one?
Sheffield United. They got no money. The likes of these guys, Sheffield United, Luton, all these guys at the bottom, got no money. I'm going to say Nottingham Forest.
Okay. So
I thought there were some decent players. Hudson-Odoi, Origi, Elanga.
You think Nottingham Forest best?
Yeah, but it's relative to where you start from, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I think Forest done all right.
And you can't rank someone near the bottom of the table who hasn't got the budget with Man City.
When,
you can spend
Man City
whatever.
Is spending 100 million on one defender.
Yeah. So it needs context. So, for example, I budgeted that the top clubs would be able to spend a lot more than people near the bottom. However, you are right, Serge. I put Sheffield United bottom.
Yeah.
Primarily because they lost the two best players, right?
Yeah.
They lost Illman and Dier and Sander Berger. They actually spent overall, and these numbers are all taken from Transfer Market and in euros. The reason they're taken from there is just the easiest to use one page to source all the information.
You don't want
to
be going to this.
No. Sod all that. So, spent 33 million euros overall. But it's difficult to think what they spent their 64 million euros on. If I said to you, what did Sheffield United spend their money on? It's bits and pieces, and I think a lot of the players that they got
Cameron
in...
Cameron Archer.
Well, that's like a third of it. And obviously, Gustavo Hamer essentially, I guess, was the Illman and Dier replacement, but wasn't going to replace and Dier's goals. He's a different profile of player. Archer, obviously, more to replace the goals. And Vinicius Souza, I guess, was the replacement for Sander Berge. That's primarily it, those three players. But the fact that they lost their two best players and basically, in my opinion, are now in a worse state than the team that got promoted, because a lot of the players they brought in, Austin Trusty's just got into the team, but the likes of Benny Traore, Anis Slimane, Tom Davis, we've hardly seen them in all seriousness. So a lot of the fringe signings I don't think have improved the team, so yep. I ranked Sheffield United as worst. Next worst I ranked was Fulham.
They held on to Palinha though.
Well, yeah, and otherwise they'd probably be bottom. They actually made a profit in the transfer window, €16 million, primarily because Alexander Mitrovic was their one and only sale. I think they bought a few players who have improved the squad. Timothy Castagne, Calvin Bassey, Alex Iwobi. But I don't think they've necessarily improved the team as of yet. And they may do over a longer period. But you look at things like Fulham giving Everton £25 million for Alex Iwobi, which is essentially half the money they received for Mitrovic. And you do think, I wonder if you could have spent that money better elsewhere. And now they bought Jimenez for what's relatively a packet of crisps in the modern market. But they haven't replaced Mitrovic's goals. So for me, clearly, they're in a worse position than they were last season. Yet, as you said, obviously, they kept over probably the most important player, which is Paulinho. Otherwise, I think we'd have real concerns about them this year. So, look, Fulham might come back and spend some of that money, but with Jimenez, Carlos Vinicius and Rodrigo Muniz, you probably need to move something on before they sign something else. And to be honest, those other three players, Muniz is quite young, but the other two have not been with the club that long. So I don't know if they'll really go out and try and improve the position. The attacking midfielders don't contribute the number of goals that you'd arguably want them to do. So I ranked Fulham 19th. Just above them, Sujo ranked Crystal Palace in 18th place.
Really?
Yeah, go on.
Why, because they lost Zaha?
You don't agree with that?
To be honest with you, you've spent hours thinking about this. I haven't, so I can't argue. But I mean, they've lost Zaha, but and they didn't get any money for him, so I can understand why that's a big negative.
Yeah.
But sometimes you kind of need to let them go, James.
Well, they didn't have a choice in letting Zaha go, and I get that. But it's more they haven't really replaced it. Now,
they put an offer on the table for him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They offered him a new contract. And it should be caveated by the fact, obviously, look, they didn't sell any of their other key players, right? Gueye and Anderson stayed. Michael Lisi stayed, signed a new contract. Ebe Eze's just signed a new contract as well. But it didn't replace Eze. And we knew going into this summer window that they needed a new attacking player anyway, even if they'd kept Zaha, someone to play in front of Zaha, Elise and Eze to finish the chances that the others create. So I marked them down on the fact they didn't add a new attacking player. They have to be weaker offensively in the sense they've lost Zaha and not replaced him. Sure, they bought Matthias Franchard, but he's young and we haven't really seen him
seen
yet,
none of,
right?
Nothing so, yet.
And he's had his injury problems and I get that. They bought Dean Henderson. Rob Holding, they
hasn't
got in.
Played.
Exactly. Rob Henderson, they've got in as cover. Really cheap. Might as well be a free transfer. But
I feel for Dean Henderson to be not playing at Man United, to go to not playing at Sheffield Crystal Palace.
Yeah, but now he's living in London. The one player that's improved him this year is Jefferson Lerma has become a good partner for Cheick Doucouré and obviously signed on a free transfer. It's obviously good business. But Palace also didn't receive a single penny in transfer fees.
Wow.
So there's players there that I think they'd like to move on that they haven't been able to or are not getting the transfer fees for. And the heating's just gone off and I sound about 10 decibels louder now and it's really off-putting. So Palace, through lack of business, right, I think. I understand why. There's part, because of restrictions of the owner, might not have been able to spend what other people would expect. Plus, as soon as you appoint Hodgson for another year, you're basically saying we're in kind of a
holding
temporary
pattern. Yeah, basically. The thing is, it's funny because I look at it and then I'm like, who's gotten better? Who's gotten worse? Or will there be in any worse? I don't think Palace will be in any worse position in the league because of this transfer window. Like, I don't think it's affected their ability to be 14th or 15th or whatever. So, fine, but...
And we should praise Hodgson for actually the results they've got, considering they've had injuries to Eze and Elise, right? They're actually performing fine.
Yeah.
But as a transfer window,
yeah,
I'd be surprised if any Palace fan wasn't really underwhelmed by what their business was in the summer.
Yeah, I get that.
In 17th, I've ranked Bournemouth, who's one we regularly mention. It's like, okay, you spent €128 million and you spent it on what?
In the summer?
Yeah.
Kirkesh?
You want to keep guessing?
When did Semenya come in? This summer?
No, January.
Okay, so a while ago. Who else did they buy? Tell me.
It's good that, isn't it? So Tyler Adams, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. 20 million though.
Yeah, 27 million euros. Obviously hasn't kicked a ball. Alex Scott, 23 million euros. Just got into the team, now injured again. Now look, that's 50 million euros worth of two midfield players that they can't get on the pitch, right? They also made a move for Hamid Traore permanent, which I think was probably an obligation, I'm guessing, off the loan. Because they spent 25 million euros on him, and he's only made like three appearances, and I think they're all as a substitute this season. Kerkez is a decent buy, so 18 million euros. But Romain Favre, who from Lyon, who they sent straight out on loan. Justin Kluivert. Max Aaron's actually only 8 million euros.
It's not bad.
And they've had like Sinisterra and backup keeper Radu coming on loan. But you can't escape the fact it's like they've spent a lot of money, and then, to be honest, if you ask the average person, you'd be like, what did Bournemouth spend their money on? They'd be like, I don't know.
Not much better.
I don't know.
It's still Tavernier and Solanke and Billing and that as the ones that
well, that's it. The team doesn't at the moment, and listen, they did really well against Newcastle, right? But other than Kerkez, the team doesn't really feel better. Any different. It's just it's a different manager and it's a different style, obviously. But as a squad, they don't feel any better. So they've outlaid like 126 million euros and you don't feel like they've improved.
Mm.
So they have to get marked down on that. Also, I think probably on reflection, we could say Adams and Scott, right, they've been injured, but they bought them injured.
Yeah, it's true.
So
if you buy an injury-prone player, you know, like Madison's out for you guys.
It's
now,
not
right?
Even just buying injury-prone players. You're buying them injured.
Yeah, that's
they
worse.
Knew when they bought them that these two players wouldn't be like available like for the end of the summer and the start of the autumn.
Mm.
This is a big outlay. So I get it. They put the trust in those two players, and those two players will, I'm sure, make them much better in the longer term. But at the moment, you'd have to say that's a shitty window. It didn't sell anybody, even to the extent things like, and I understand why they held on, but say like there were bids for Lloyd Kelly, who they'll probably lose on a free transfer now. And listen, he'll have probably an integral role for them this year and probably help them stay up, and therefore it will pay for itself. But there's a lot of players who've left the club, and the only one they got any money for was Ben Pearson, who went to Stoke City. In 16th, I've placed Burnley. That's for similar reasons to Bournemouth. So they had an outlay of 111 million euros. You want to tell me what Burnley spent their money
Trafford.
On? Trafford, yeah. It's about 15% of it.
Oh, that's about it.
Zeki Amdouni was actually the biggest sign. Aaron Ramsey from Aston Villa, who for injury issues has hardly been seen. Jordan Bayer deal was made permanent. The signing of Sander Berg is good value for money, to be fair. This at 40 million euros. Not that he's pulled up any trees. But the rest is, there's a lot of young players in there, right? Like Odegaard, 12 million euros, we've hardly seen. I think the signing of Colioscio stands out as 3 million euros. Like, they'll get their money back on that, for example. And they've gone down this model, haven't they, in terms of signing players for, let's say, modest fees or perhaps unheralded, with the view, I think, of they'll be able to sell them on for large profits in the future.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Trafford, I've been quite critical of, for example, but if they sold him tomorrow, they ain't selling him for anything less than what they bought him for.
Yeah.
He's now got 12 Premier League appearances under his belt. Yeah. So if anything, just on that alone, he's more experienced and you're going to get value back on. If Colioscu was sold in January, he'd probably get three times the money, for example. But it's a lot of money without, in my opinion, anything improving the 11.
Well, I'm in the bottom of the table, mate. So.
And I think Jack would say the same. Jack Tony would say, like, the team, same as with Sheffield United, it's not stronger than what it was at the end of last year. So I think there's two real failures for them as well. One, they didn't get a replacement for Ian Mattson, who was there on loan from Chelsea, and obviously they tried to buy him, but now they've gone back to playing Charlie Taylor in the Premier League when he was kind of outcast in the Championship last year, and he's doing fine, but it's not Mattson and the way they want to play. And also, possibly having a little bit too much reliability on Foster. They can't have foreseen the circumstance, but obviously he's got mental health issues at the moment. But it didn't get a proven Premier League forward in, I think, is an oversight. Of all these players,
it's hard to get a proven Premier League goal scorer. We struggle to get a goal scorer. We buy players and they're not available. But Burnley, Danny Ings will be available in January. So, you know, he's proven.
And he used to play for them.
Go, go, go.
I mean, wouldn't be the worst.
I should be an agent.
It wouldn't be the worst signing for someone like Burnley. I think Amdouni probably was the one, I guess, they were pinning their hopes on. But even from the start, it seemed clear that the intention was going to be to use Foster as the chief number nine. I don't think it's worked. So, yeah, I think unfortunately for them, a little bit like Sheffield United, just not really improved. 15th full surprise usage. I've gone for Brentford, who we always kind of hold up as like great in terms of their model and what they do, etc. Not a big window for them. Actually, only spent 10 million net. Nathan Collins, I think, is the only one that really came in and improved the 11. They made the sign of Kevin Sharday permanent, but he was already there from a loan spell in January. Flecken isn't an upgrade on David Raya.
No, but he's all right.
No, he's fine. And he's
for the price they paid, I think he's all right.
But he hasn't improved that team on what they had.
No, but it's hard. David Raya's a goalkeeper.
I get that, absolutely. That's it. I think the main failure for them, and I think in fairness they'll addressed it in January, was they wanted to get a wide forward in or another forward, bearing in mind obviously Tony's suspended as mm-hmm. well, right? They wanted to get something sorted and they didn't. So they've definitely got budget, I think, to spend in January. The player they were really looking at was Bakayoko from PSV. And he said he wanted to play in the Champions League. Now, they're probably going to finish bottom of Arsenal's group. So if they're completely out of Europe, it might be that Brentford revived their interest in that. But I think I'd have to look at them and say, you didn't improve, right? And I know like Tom Medden that will stand up for Neil Maupay, but that's what they've ended up doing, is getting Neil Maupay on a loan transfer. And I'm sure that probably wasn't the intention going into the summer window. So
agreed.
I marked them down on the sense that they haven't improved, right? And actually coming into their third Premier League season, you would expect their spend to be near a sort of 50-60. But I think like they'd earmarked to spend 40 million on an attacking forward. Of course, look, Tony might go. Then they might have shitloads to spend next summer and they might go mad, possibly. In 14th, I've placed Wolves.
Okay.
Who we knew had restrictions, obviously, going into the summer transfer window. That was said as much by their owner.
Potted about them. Mm.
Do you know how much profit they made on transfers in the end?
Well, Neves obviously went for a decent amount of money. I'm going to say 15 million euros.
Mateus Nunes as well, right?
Oh, yeah, true. Forgot about him as well for 60. So let's say 50 million euros.
So you went from 15 and you got a player with 60 and you went for 50.
Yeah, but then they bought players as well.
15 plus 60 is 75, and that's what they made.
Oh, what a bit of maths. Go on.
So they did in the end outlay.
They made some money at least then.
Yeah, they did outlay in the end 94 million euros and an income 169. I think in a weird way, it's probably recency bias from having just watched them, but also reflect on their results against other teams they've played at Molineux. Despite losing Neves and Nunes, who I think were key players for them, although Nunes didn't really tear it up last year and doesn't look Man City standard, in my opinion. Don't feel weaker. I think a lot of that's to do with Mario Lemina. Obviously, the outlay as well is heavily influenced by the money spent on Cunha, which was kind of an enforced buy. That's like a huge chunk of their spend. Otherwise, they bought Jean-Ricner Bellegarde, who's a player I like, from Strasbourg. Santiago Bueno, who's a backup centre-back we haven't seen a lot of yet. Boubacar Traore, made permanent from Metz. And a young winger from Paraguayan club, Enzo Gonzalez, is one for the future. So didn't overly outlay, but then in terms of outs as well, Neves went, Nunes went. The other one we're probably forgetting is Nathan Collins.
Yep.
But they also picked up bits of money for Connor Cody, Raul Jimenez, Ryan Giles, Hayao Kawabe, who's a player I've never heard of. They got a loan fee for Daniel Podence. They got a free from Millwall for Mateo Sarkic, backup goalkeeper. So they had little trickles of money coming in as well. And we knew they were under restrictions. They've worked within it and they don't feel a million miles worse than where they were. I think the squad is weaker, and you could make a case that despite, say, Neto's injury, they've largely been a little bit fortuitous on the injury front overall. But I kind of felt when I looked at their window, I felt like they should be ranked lower. But I think we feel better about them than what we did going into the season. So it felt harsh. So I've placed Wolves at 14th.
Okay.
13th, bottom of the really big club, should we say, I've put Manchester United. Net profit of basically loss of 150 million euros.
So they spent 150 million?
Well, they spent 204. Their income was 55. I think some of the sales actually, maybe even you could make a case, maybe even weakened the squad. a little bit in terms of players like Fred and Langer. We know they're not necessarily quality, but they might have come in quite handy for United during this period. Dean Henderson as well. They've ended up selling Henderson. I get why they sold Henderson, but they've ended up getting another goalkeeper in who's not going to do anything other than just sit there as backup for Andre Anon, Atle Biyinda, who they got for €5 million for Fenerbahce. So you could say, look, they've flipped their number two goalkeeper for another one and made a little bit of money. We're marking them down, really, because the three big signings haven't really made the impact that we would have expected. In Højlund's case, that feels harsh.
Yeah, it's still warming up. I'd say he's warming up.
Correct. It's big money, though, isn't it? €75 million.
It's huge, mate. For a striker, it's huge.
Probably the bigger
when
one.
When 25 million more gets you Harry Kane, kind of roughly, give or take.
Yeah, but with that, you've got to factor in the salary and all the stuff that comes with that.
Still,
as well.
75 million's big money.
It's more than Mason Mount.
His injuries in and out.
Yeah, I get that, but you don't... I'm not sure if I foresee him regaining what he was and actually forcing himself into the team. I mean, what's his best position?
He's at eight, left side at eight, I would have said.
Yeah, maybe. But then that comes back to the problem of leaving Casemiro isolated on his own. Mm. He's not fit. His best position really is a 10, I think. It's Bruno's position, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Onana, jury's out, isn't it, let's say?
Yeah, I'd say he's a solid 7 out of 10. He's not like 8s and 9s. He's going to be all right the majority of the time, but he's not a title-winning goalkeeper, I would describe.
Distribution exceptional. For me, his shot-stopping is not good enough.
Flaky.
Also, I think you have to mark down a club of their size that is having to decide to go back into the loan market again and go and get the likes of Sergio Reguilón. Amrabat, admittedly, is a loan because... apparently, maybe they couldn't afford, because it was on the edge of FFP, maybe, to pay the whole transfer fee. I don't know. But he hasn't impressed. Going back and getting Johnny Evans on a free transfer. Now, listen, Johnny Evans has done a little job for him, so it's difficult to be critical of a player coming on a free transfer. But this, this is Manchester United.
I get it.
I think, for me, really, that's a poor window that's only going to be reflected on very well if Højlund, Mount and Onana very much improve what they've done. In 12th, I've ranked Luton Town, which was a really difficult one to rank, right? Because they didn't get any money for anybody that they sold, basically. And they've only spent bits and pieces. You know what their record transfer signing now is, apparently?
£12 million.
I don't think it's that. According to Transfer Market, it's Ryan Joles. I'm not sure that's correct, but it's €5.85 million. So this is what we're working with. And look, they've bought a number of players.
Same as United spent on their backup goalkeeper.
have improved the squad. Like, when you think about it, really, Kaminsky's looked quite good.
Yeah.
They bought him for under £3 million. Nakamba is a decent midfield player, I think, for what they wanted. They bought him for under £3 million. Jacob Brown's been playing semi-regularly, bought for under £3 million. Tahit Chong was bought for under £5 million. Mads Andersson from Barnsley, under £4 million. This is what they've been working with. A couple of free signings. Ross Barkley, obviously Andros Townsend, is very recent. Chidozie Ogbeni was a free transfer from Rotherham. He seems established in the first team now, so that's a good signing.
They're doing all right, so, then.
Yeah.
Play with what they can.
The only one I'd say that's definitively improved the team on them from last season, considering they had Nakamba on loan, is the goalkeeper. That's the only thing I'd say about that. I think the rest of them have all improved the squad. I don't know if they've necessarily nailed down a place and improved the team. No outgoings as well. So they've obviously dipped in into the loan market, but I don't think they took full advantage of it. They got Kabore in from Manchester City, and obviously Lokonga's coming from Arsenal, which has obviously been really unlucky that he's got injured. We knew their hands were tied. It felt really harsh to kind of mark them down anymore, but... no Premier League experience other than Barkley and Townsend on free transfers, which, let's be honest, is scraping the barrel because no other Premier League club would have gone and got them. And I don't know if they've necessarily improved the quality of what they had. They've improved the numbers. I don't know if they've improved the quality.
I mean, it's hard at that price point.
Of course it is.
It's hard.
That, it feels absurd to be critical of them in any way. So Luton at 12th. I've got Manchester City at 11th. Primarily because they've spent too much money on Matias Nunes, I think. I think Guardiola's done with him what he's done with Phillips and gone, I'm not sure about you, actually. Despite,
I don't know if they spent too much money on Guardiola as well so far. He's prone to an error or two here or there.
Let's remember how old Josko Gvardiol is.
21?
Yeah.
Still, though, 100 million is a lot of money.
We have to factor that. I think also the reason they get marked down quite a bit is I think I'm not convinced that the squad is weaker than what it was, but you've lost a few key players there. Palmer, Mahrez, Laporte. Now, they've all brought in...
Gundogan.
Circa 100 million. Obviously, Gundogan absolutely gone. Gundogan. Obviously, on a free transfer. And the replacements are basically Gvardiol, Nunes, Doku and Kovacic. So numbers-wise... it's not too dissimilar. And Doku might prove to be a sensational signing. And I think Gvardiol will prove to be very, very good as well. Kovacic was a player I think City felt they had to get, as in someone that could play with Rodri. Not, you can't replicate Gundogan, but I like Mateo Kovacic. And I actually think getting him in for 30 million is a decent bit of business, actually. For City, that's small cheese, isn't it? That's half the price of Nunes.
If they had bought Paqueta, they wouldn't have bought Nunes.
That's possibly true, yeah.
And I think Paqueta would have improved their team more than Nunez, but I think he would have required some coaching in the Guardiola mould to maybe fit. And Nunez is still young as well. So
it needs the caveat as well to say, what I often say with City players is judge them 1 year two. But I've got the vibe with Nunez that what most of us have had with Calvin Phillips is how much does he want to use them. And you can make a case as well that arguably they should be moving players like Calvin Phillips out of the club. There's a few players also that have obviously gone, which has got a bit of the wages off. So Ben Mendy's obviously was released on a free transfer as well. João Cancelo obviously went to Barcelona. It's a loan, but it's obviously going to end up being a permanent transfer. Cancelo's replaced basically by Rico Lewis, isn't it? And it's just other players stepping up and developing. So I put City at 11th. Controversially above them, I've put Chelsea at 10th, which scaling Chelsea and judging whether it's a good or bad window feels like, yep, let me put them right in the middle, because they've obviously spent, right? And that's what your average fan would be like, spend some bloody money. Some of these I think will prove to be value, some won't. So, I mean, whether Casado will ever fulfil that fee, God knows. They've ended up getting mugged off by Brighton and possibly in cahoots with Liverpool, the amount they've ended up paying for Casado, right? They've spent on Casado and Lavia circa 178 million euros. Now, they might end up being the future of Chelsea and playing together, but Sujic shaking his head. It is a little bit staggering, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they'll all come good, and I think Chelsea will become a force. Whether or not it'll be worth the money is a different question.
Yeah. I mean, to caveat that, I think Christopher Nkunku for 60 million euros is actually perfectly reasonable, despite the fact we haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, let's see him play first.
He's going to be a super player. I'm pretty confident of that. Cole Palmer, I think most of us would, 47 million euros? Yeah, if they were buying him tomorrow, that's at least what they're paying. He's now in the England squad. This aside is probably kind of market value, sort of circa 40, 45 million. Jackson isn't the most expensive signing, 37. Ugochukwu was a player we thought was coming in and was going to go back out on loan, 27 million. But he's only 19, so it's fine. It's part for the future. I think they left themselves, in my opinion, arguably weaker in the goalkeeper position. I'm not convinced that Sanchez is an upgrade on Kepa, personally. And that's ended up costing money. That said, they've recouped some good money as well, right? I mean... we criticise them on what they spent, but 75 million euros for Havertz.
Yep.
Mount. 64 million euros for Mount. They've got money for Kovacic. They've got money for Koulibaly, Pulisic, Mendy. Loftus-Cheek is one, I think, probably on reflection. He's doing quite well at Milan. It's probably one they might be a bit disappointed with. Ethan Ampadu, they got money for as well. Callum Hudson-Odoi was nothing in the end. They couldn't sell Romelu Lukaku permanently. I mean, the Kepa going to Real Madrid on loan is one that's felt like a... But to be honest, you need a good minute of your life to read all the ingoings and outgoings from Chelsea. It's just a churn of... Reminds me when I used to work in the bookies, staff would just come and go like so regularly. That's what it feels like with him. Maybe now it will settle down a little bit. And obviously, when you look through the profile of players that Chelsea have actually had come into the club this year... the oldest is Sanchez, 25. Axel Disasai's 25 and Kunku's 25. Nothing older than that. They've obviously invested in people like David Washington, Angelo as well. That's 30 million euros worth of outlay and they're both 18, right? So they're obviously signings for the future. But it's the usual with them, isn't it? It's the gamble to try and get back amongst the elite. Total net spend, 193 million euros. Are they stronger than what they were when Thomas Tuchel walked out the club 14 months ago? Or not walked out, pushed out? That's always the question,
I would say probably will be over the next 12 to 18 months.
I would agree with that.
A bit of time.
I would agree with that.
Who's next?
In ninth, and we're getting obviously into
Before we get into the top nine, James, can I make a public service announcement?
Yeah, you can.
I'm only
saying
it because I just had a message that's reminded me. Yep. On December the 10th, you are at Tottenham, James.
We're playing Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm freezing my knackers off because I said to the Juice Boys I'll help support their football tournament thing in Mill Hill. I really should make an effort to understand all of the information and details and timings and all that kind of stuff. But what I'd say to the patrons is go to just FPL Juice or whatever their shizzle manizzle is. I'm supposed to put a team together of four players, and then there's going to be some people from the community making up the team. I've got three. So I only need one more player.
Oh, so you just need a player?
Yeah, Shams agreed to go in goal. So I've got the Team South goalkeeper.
Cool.
Yeah, that's like having... what's the name of the Man United reserve goalkeeper that no one knows and never heard of?
Yeah, him.
It's all right, mate. Shams, it's five aside. The goal's going to be shorter than you. I love you, Sham. I need one more or two more, but it's in North London in Mill Hill. So if there's any patrons that want to come and be part of the team, go on Slack and DM Clayton, not me, because Clayton will get back to you quicker. But I need one or two more. I probably need one more and one more sub. I can find players around, but if there's anyone that wants to come and be part of the day, you may as well, isn't it? It's not costing anything. Help a brother out, because I agreed to it without actually knowing what I was agreed to.
Okay.
Public service announcement,
public service
over.
Announcement. Where's the game? Mill Hill.
Mill Hill.
Mill Hill.
North London.
North
Mill
London.
Hill. Power League or Goals or whatever they've got down there. They've got one of the two of them.
Jumpers for goalposts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to take the team to Nando's afterwards if that's not incentive. I don't know what is.
Okay.
Go on then.
Yeah.
Number nine in the list, James.
Yeah, you lot might not survive that. Ninth on the list is Newcastle United. Outlay of 153 million euros.
How much do they get marked down for buying a player that's now been...
Well, I have marked them down on that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's their fault.
They didn't know, right?
That's their fault.
Surely there's got to be some kind of due diligence. But also, you should have to sign or say you've been truthful about facts. But maybe AC Milan didn't know.
Yeah. I think... look, their total kind of net outlay of 108 million euros is perfectly reasonable in line with a team that's just qualified for the Champions League, right? It's not a madness. I mean, Chelsea have gone double, right?
Yeah.
With no European football. So, to be honest, if we were, I'm not defending anything, but if we just said they were a team who qualified for the Champions League and they spent 108 million euros, you go, okay, fine. Like, it's in line with that. Where I'd probably mark them down a little bit was there's that with Tonali. I think it was a big fee, but he's looked a talented player. I also think he's had some difficult moments. But I do question if they've actually bought anything in that's improved the team now that they've lost him. So Barnes essentially is in competition with other players. Admittedly, he's injured at the moment. And Livramento is obviously a really good buyer and a super talent and will eventually take over from Kieran Trippier. But actually doesn't feel like they've actually done any business that has significantly and immediately improved the 11 based on last year. And I think on reflection, that's probably a little bit of a surprise. The incoming primarily comes from two players. That's Alan Saint-Maximin and Chris Wood, who I think Newcastle might have been a little bit fortuitous in the sense that I think Forest had an obligation to buy maybe if they avoided relegation, I think. So that's brought in sort of the income worth of 40 million euros worth. So, yeah, Newcastle invested in younger players. You know, Lewis Hall, for example, is a loan that will get made permanent. Livramento has said they bought a player from Odense, Jakuba Minta, for 8 million euros. Again, it's one for the future. I don't know what his status is at the moment in terms of whether he can help Newcastle because they're possibly short in that area. If Miguel Almiron has truly got a hamstring injury. But yeah, probably reflection. You think, have they? It's the same team, isn't it? Nearly. Really?
Yeah, it doesn't help. Injuries never help. Barnes and all that kind of stuff. But I think they are still making progress slowly. I think where you've ranked them is probably fair.
I've put Forest in eighth.
Yeah, decent. For a club of their size to do the business they're doing.
The spend feels right as well this time. Spent net 57 million Euros. Yeah, but
the problem was not money last time, it's volume of players, wasn't
yeah,
it? Really?
And to
it
be honest,
you got 30 new players or something stupid. Like, how many is it this time? 10?
It's still a lot, Suj.
Yeah.
So let's go through these Forest signings. So I think a couple of them have improved the team, definitely. Murillo, who's 21-year-old centre back they got from Brazil, looks really good and looks a good buy.
He might be injured. I don't know what happened with in the game against us.
Yes, he may have picked up an injury
and then
right late
hobbled
on
a bit, and then who knows? But he was right.
Ibrahim Sangare improves the team as well. That's the big signing. I mean, to be in fair, that's the only one actually that's over 20 million euros. He does feel a bit stockpiling again. They've obviously got two new goalkeepers in Vlachodimos and Matt Turner. Nicolas Dominguez come in, 10 million is a pretty reasonable free for a 25-year-old midfielder from abroad.
Elango improves the team.
But then
what did they pay for Elango?
17.5 million euros, according to this.
Okay, and what did you pay for Johnson?
Oh, like 45 or something.
Yeah, so Elanga plus 20 million for Brennan Johnson.
That's all right. I wouldn't say it improves them, and I'd also say that when Hudson-Odoi is fit, I wouldn't look at him yet and think, oh, yeah, you're definitely first choice for Nottingham Forest. Like, I don't have that vibe. Like, Sangare is playing, Murillo's playing, definite. Elanga is playing, but I think it's also a little bit dependent on system and opposition. As he made them better than what they were last year, my opinion on that would be no. Chris Wood, just spoke about, has ended up being permanent. I mean, but they also, on top of that, decided to get Divock Origi on a loan transfer as well. Nuno Tavares on loan. Ola Aina, free transfer, fine, can't knock it. Gonzalo Montiel came in, loan, seems to have disappeared. Andre Santos, they got on loan from Chelsea. They ain't seen him at all. Like, what was the point of that? Omar Bamadele from Norwich. Spent over 10 million on.
Yep.
Not seeing him. I don't know what the status is. Now, all of the income essentially is obviously Brennan Johnson. Transfer market's got 55 million euros, which sounds about right. Little bit of money in for Sam Surridge and a couple of others. But I think as a team and the quality of it, I actually think they've improved quite a bit. They're trying to change the style, but I've marked them down because there's so many players again there. I'm like, Why?
What are you buying them for? So, I get it.
Otherwise, I probably would have had them marked up a little bit higher. I've ranked Liverpool in seventh. Total outlay net of 111 million euros. I think two really key signings. Obviously, a large chunk of that is Dominic Szoboszlai. I think he's outstanding.
Proved his money's worth.
And Alexis McAllister has improved the team as well. Ryan Gravenberch certainly improves the squad. It's quite new. He's obviously joined a little bit later with a little bit of an injury, but he's only 21, right? So plenty of potential for him to improve. Wataru Endo felt like a bit of a
stopgap. The one thing I think you marked him down.
It felt like a Manchester United signing.
Yeah, I think you mark him down because it felt a bit chaotic. Like, it didn't feel like an organised, structured approach to the window in the sense of how can you be arguing over 50 million of Lavia, but then straight away from nowhere dropping 100 million bid on Caicedo. It didn't feel like it was strategically planned. It felt a little bit haphazard and reactionary. And so you got to mark them down for that. I think net-net they've come out fine because look at them. They're title challengers. They're right up there.
Yeah.
1 point off the top. And they've got like Szoboszlai, McAllister. It's given them something in midfield. I do think they've improved.
And you'd have to look and say, right, so they've spent money on four players. All four of those players are in the midfield area, right? Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch and Endo. And actually, when you look at the outgoings, Fabinho, Henderson, Chamberlain, Keita and Milner have gone all from that area.
It's an improvement.
The four that's come in is an improvement on the five that have gone.
Yeah.
And also, I think the money they got for Fabinho, considering the season he had last year, was pretty good. They got sort of 46 million euros for him. Maybe didn't get the money they wanted for Jordan Henderson. You could argue offensively.
Jordan Henderson got the money he wanted.
Yeah, that's true. You could argue offensively a little bit lighter because Roberto Firmino obviously left the club as well. But it certainly
wasn't. But then they'd pre-empted that with Gakpo in the January before and that kind of thing. So they'd pre-warned for that, pre-planned for that.
So I think largely on the whole, good window for Liverpool. I've put Brighton in sixth and I found this a really difficult one because, again, it's remarkable, 89 million in the coffers through their transfer business, despite spending over 100 million and yet they're still very competitive. I know they're on a little run where they haven't won many recently.
Yeah, they, but still the Masters are just very competitive. Dirty transfer fees and Caicedo being the prime.
But to do this fairly, I would look at the incomings and say from Pedro, Baleba, Verbruggen, Julio, De Hood, Milner, Fatty, have any of them improved the team on last season? Improved their best team?
Probably not.
Verbruggen, maybe. I think it will,
Fatty
will,
possibly
will prove to be
if he can
better.
Get consistently in the team.
He's a 20-year-old goalkeeper. And is it Ronald Koeman's back in charge of the Dutch team? He said he's going to be Netherlands number one now. So, you know, that's great. Brighton have got a 20-year-old goalkeeper who's number one for one of the strongest nations in Europe. And a lot of these players are young, right? Pedro's 21, Baleba's 19. We know what they're doing here, right? We know that Chelsea will buy a couple of these players in a few
years. Yeah, and they buy
players.
Like, they've got shit coming through the youth. So you're like, when you've got the likes of Adingra and Notabuene and that coming through. Buonanotte coming through.
Notabuene.
Buonanotte.
I much prefer Notabuene.
That's a good name. I was thinking Buonanotte coming through. You,
Daniel Levy, if you're listening, I need you to find me a Notabuene somewhere, mate. That's
listen,
brilliant.
If you still had, what's his face? Who was your director of football that got dodgy dealings in Italy?
Paratici.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be able to find you wherever you
want,
mate.
Buona, I've forgotten it already. A Notabuene.
Exactly.
Brilliant,
that.
Brilliant, mate.
Yeah, but I think you're ranking them higher more because of the way they get money in almost and the way they spend money. It's ridiculous.
To be fair...
If I could give them a job in sales here, I'll fucking
it does
would.
Need a bit of balance because you would arguably say Liverpool have underpaid for McAllister at 42 million euros.
Yeah, I think
when
we
you,
had a
when
year
you,
left.
When you
though,
consider that Caicedo is nearly three times that.
Yeah, but he had a year left, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, who's fifth?
They obviously sold Robert Sanchez as well, which he wasn't playing from last year anyway. But I think, to be honest, I marked them up on being able to get a record. For Brighton and Hove Albion to have the record sale in British football history, I think is remarkable, so fair play to them. In fifth, this will shock, I've put Everton. So Everton had a net profit in the transfer window of 42 million euros. Their spend was 41 million. Yet the only player I think has probably truly improved their 11, I'd say, is a loan signing, which is Jack Harrison. The money spent has basically gone on two forwards, Beto and Chimiti. Chimiti's a young player, he's only 19. Obviously got Arnaud Danjuma in on loan as well. That's the money spent. Now, they had to spend in that area because of Calvert-Lewin. Now, ironically, at the moment, he's fit and they're not necessarily required. But I think what I like about them is I think it's the business out that I really like because this hasn't weakened them. So they've got Moise Kean off the books for 30 million euros. They've got 25 million for Alex Iwobi. Damari Gray was surplus to requirements as well, had fallen out with the club, but got a bit of money in for him. And they let, because they've spent in the forward area and these young boys, Ellis Sim and Tom Cannon, probably weren't quite ready, they sold them on to Leicester and Coventry respectively. And there's a number of other players have obviously got off the books that would have been on serious wages. So like Vinagre, Townsend, Gbamon, Maupay, Holgate, Mina, Davis, Begovic and Kunku, they're all gone. So actually, I think what Everton have done in terms of stripping the assets out the club that they didn't want, they've actually done a really good job. And again, despite the fact they've had a profit this year, we would have to look at them right now and say we feel better about them. Sean Dyche has got them doing all right. Like their XG is good. Their league position currently is false in the sense that if you look at metrics, they should be higher. The team currently feels fit and stable. And I think Harrison has been a really good addition to that. And therefore, I think they've had a pretty good window, even though for Everton, we ain't bought no one. But actually, I think the business
housekeeping.
That the housekeeping's been really good, actually. And let Dyche keep who he wants and get rid of who he wants, essentially. We're down to four.
Champions League spots, mate.
Any guesses?
Well, we're down to Tottenham, West Ham, Villa and Arsenal. So it's going to be one of those four. Gonna say West Ham.
I've put Arsenal fourth.
Okay.
Primarily because I spent too much fucking money on Kai Havertz. That's my opinion. they've obviously been unfortunate as well with Jurrien Timber's injury. The outlay's big, right? I mean, 235 million euro expense. So spent 167 million net overall. And obviously, Declan Rice accounts for obviously a good half of the outlay. And with him, irrespective of the fee, you'd have to go, great signing. If you can afford to pay that, like, yeah, great, yeah, yeah, crack on, right? World class. So you'd have to say, without question, definite improvement to the team. That said, Xhaka went for a modest fee, and I think that was obviously prior agreed, but I don't think they're stronger without him.
He's tearing it up in Leverkusen, to be fair. I do think
that they've missed him a little bit this year. That said, to counter that, they got 30 million euros in for Balogun, who, I mean, 30 million for a kid that's come through the youth ranks is hardly good. Played for you is great, right? And they moved on, where I ranked them up as well. And I think this is kind of almost feels like the final year of it for Arsenal. They got a lot of shit out the door. So you look at people like Mari, Holding, Tavares, Nicolas Pepe, Maitland-Niles, Runnison. Like, these players not good enough for Arsenal and have got rid of them this summer.
Yeah.
Some of them on loans, admittedly, but they've got loan fees in for these players in that case as well. So I think like their outgoings is a positive in the sense they've got rid of some shite. And they've improved the quality with Rice is obviously standout signing. So I think Raya and Timber improved the squad. You can make your debate at the moment whether Raya improves the team or not. And Ramsdale will obviously get his chance at Brentford this week. But I think, yeah, the overspending of Havertz versus the brilliant buy of Rice did counteract a little bit of the very good sales that I think they had as well.
Yep.
I've put you third, Suj.
That's fair. I think Spurs are a bit high on this list all of a sudden if they're in the top two, but yeah, people can debate it out however they want.
I mean, you know where this is heading. I've just set this up, right? So West Ham in third, I think primarily as well, because I think you dealt with the loss of Rice really well. I think the fee that you got for him was fine. And there's also like 40 million euro on top of that in income through selling Shamaka. You could argue it's underpriced and you maybe didn't replace him, arguably.
Yeah.
But his income into the club, Vlasic has gone permanently, Masuaku's gone permanently. Lanzini's obviously moved on. You've obviously given Flynn Downs a loan because he would have been restricted for minutes this year. I think it was really important.
The three big signings, Kudus, Alvarez, Ward-Prowse, all get into the first 11.
Yeah, so
which is important. When you're spending money like that, you want players that just go straight into the team, and all three of them, in my opinion, get into the first 11.
Exactly that. What I think, to be honest, at the moment, from a definitely improved 11, at the moment, I've only put Alvarez and Ward-Prowse. I think Kudus is still a little bit up for debate.
Yeah.
I think he's a super talent, and I think he will get in the team. But on what we've seen so far, we couldn't say he's definitively improved the 11, because we spent much of the last 2 months going, where's he going to play? Like, where does he get into this team? Improvement on the squad, absolutely, definitely. Mavropanos is an addition that I think was needed, because as we always say, you ain't going to get 38 games out of Kurt Zouma, right? So I think like you spent the money sensibly and you've got some of it back to then maybe attack into maybe a forward in January, for example, or something different. New fullbacks maybe, I think, might be on the agenda in the near future.
Emerson's all right, but definitely, we need an upgrade.
If he wasn't fit, you wouldn't be comfortable with what would play instead of him, right?
No.
So you do need new fullbacks. So are we kind of over the Ben Johnson thing now and stuff like
Creswell
that?
Played, didn't he, the other week when Emerson was suspended? So
you will need depth in the fullback area.
Villa.
No, I've put Tottenham second.
Okay.
I think it's really interesting that I reflect on both of us losing our best players. And I think, came out the other side. It's difficult to say better.
Mm.
But maybe stronger as a...
As a squad and as a team.
As an overall.
And as a... In the direction you want to go in, I can understand. Now, the challenge is obviously you've lost half these fucking players from injury.
Yeah.
But you can't legislate for that. It's going to happen. But you've got a creative player up there in Madison. You've got your centre-back situation sorted with Van de Ven. You've got a new goalkeeper, which you needed to fix. So... Yeah, so, I think Spurs done. Brendan Johnson as well. I think he's a talent. So I think you've done all right.
The income was big in terms of the outlay in the summer, but you must remember that 70 million euro of that was to make Porro and Kulusevski's transfers permanent. as they were respective 6-month loans, which is what Lisbon wanted. Lisbon wanted a loan with the money to come because of their financials to come in the next year, which Tottenham agreed to. Kulusevski was obviously an 18-month loan turned into a permanent. So Tottenham's outlay of 248 million euros isn't maybe as, it is high, but it's explained away, I think, by quite a bit of that being on two players that were already there. Tottenham are the only team, in my opinion, who, and we could debate kudos to maybe add to yours, who I could definitively say sign three players this summer who absolutely improved their team in Vicario, Van de Ven and Maddison. And that's not questionable, is it?
Nope.
Brennan Johnson improves the squad. I wouldn't say necessarily that improves the team as yet. There's also been signings like Aleo Velez, Ashley Phillips, young players. Obviously, Manor Solomon coming on a free transfer. You couldn't look at these players yet and say they've improved the squad. Obviously, the big sale was Harry Kane. Tottenham did need marking down, despite what I said on Tottenham yesterday. The selling of Davinson Sanchez certainly left them light. And I think I'm looking at very much in my Tottenham hat on of, right, he's not going to be good enough, move him on, leave us light. If I was judging another team, I'd probably say, you've left your squad light by selling this player. So selling Davinson Sanchez obviously left Tottenham light, and obviously selling Harry Kane left Tottenham short of obviously their best player. So positives and negatives, but I think that the fact that there was three signings who seamlessly went straight into the team from game one and would have started every game that they were fit, bar their injuries, is why Tottenham primarily rank really highly. And also the fees they paid for these players, right? If Tottenham were buying those three players again now, what would they cost?
Van de Ven, and Vicario. Madison, 65 million, 70 million. What was the other one? Vicario?
Yeah.
Probably 35, 40. Goalkeepers, that goes crazy.
So Vicario, remember this is obviously in euros. Vicario was 19 million euros. Van de Ven, 40 million euros. And Madison, 46. So it's 100 and... Oh, it's just over 100. 105-ish, basically.
Yeah, it'd be 50 million more in total, at least. Yeah.
So on their three really good signings as well, you could make a case they paid very good value for them as well. So that's why you can say bias. I don't give a fuck. That's why Tottenham
ranked
highly.
I don't know about Villa being top. I do think they've done well.
I'll tell you why Villa ranked top.
But the only two players that are in their team that are an improvement would be Diaby and Torres.
Agreed.
And so it's only two players.
Agreed.
But
unlike Tottenham and West Ham, they didn't lose any key players.
Right.
And that's what I think ranks them highly. They've also had some money come in for the likes of young players like Archer, Philogene. They got little bits for Nakamba. Keenan Davis, who's not young anymore, got a little bit of money for that. That's got an income of sort of 30 million or so, which you could say they paid for the Pau Torres transfer fee. And then obviously Moussa Diaby is a significant expenditure for them at 55, but I don't think we're looking at that modern market and saying it's not an overpay. I don't think we're looking at Torres and thinking it's an overpay. I think we should also remember that they lost two key players through serious injuries in Mings and Buendia, and that's not been felt hugely. Yuri Tielemans on a free transfer, despite the fact we've hardly seen him, is a great pickup. Like, even if it doesn't work out, you're going to sell him for profit. There's no doubt about that. And I have sympathy for them in the fact that Zaniolo and Longley were brought in on loans primarily because of those two serious ACL injuries, which I don't think were part of the plan. And I kind of like the fact that they went down the loan route rather than the permanent route, because they still want those two players to be a part of that team when they're back and available. So I think the fact that they added a good, strong defender and a good, strong offensive player, they covered up the two serious injuries. They added Tielemans, who would look very good at the weekend, basically playing left midfield against Fulham, might now begin to get integrated into the team. And it's possible that the patience with him is to get his fitness up and get him used to the manager's style, which is very different to where he played at before. So strengthened across the board there. And they've had incomes come in. Even the Archer deal, we think the Archer deal has got a very reasonable buyback clause. If they stay up, it's more. And if they get relegated, they can buy him back for near enough what they sold if they want to, I think.
I think the last sentence he said that if they want to is a big caveat because he ain't pulling up many trees yet.
He's 21 years of age, right? They might want to bring him back. It could even be one of them that they'd bring him back and then look to sell him on for even more, right? That's something that's, I wouldn't say common practice, but happens certainly in other European countries. You have a player go out on loan or a permanent with a buyback, and then I think that happened with us buying Romero, right? So we bought him from Juventus, I think, because he was at Atalanta, but Juventus had the buyback, but Tottenham paid the buyback that was bigger. It was either him or another player. In any case, I think Villa come top because they've improved the team, have not overly spent. Like, the outlay of 60 million euros for a club who's qualified for Europe is perfectly reasonable and acceptable. Forward thinking, they've added in the right areas, and unlike the other clubs at the top of that, they've not lost any key players. And they've not overspent like an Arsenal did on Havertz. So when I just look across Villa, I wouldn't say it's faultless and it's not brilliant, but in terms of the way I ranked it, I didn't have anything to mark them down on.
I think that's a fair rundown, James. Patrons, you know what to do. Jump in the comments and just put all your disagreements, because surely there will be loads.
That was harder to put together than I thought.
Yeah. I hope you did enjoy that rundown. Well done, James, and getting all of that data together. Tomorrow, James, is a diff show, but it's a bit more of a review-y diff show than preparing for the weekend, because there's no footy at the weekend. Well, there's England, but...
Yeah, I might have a little look at some of the transfers we've made so far and reflect on that, I think, and a look at the players we've got our eyes on over the next few weeks as well.
Lovely jubbly. Patrons, thank you for your support. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.